Welcome to Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM. You want vintage radio? We got vintage radio.
Present Memphis and KWEM temperature is 75 degrees. Stay tuned next for Johnny Cash here on Mid-South Country Phonics. Avon Theater time is 4 o'clock, and folks, I'm sure all of you have seen westerns before. But if I were a betting man, I'd bet you've never seen anything like Apache, starring Burt Lancaster and Gene Peters. Apache is showing on the widescreen at the Avon Theater in West Memphis tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday, in beautiful color by Technicolor. The other picture in this big double feature program is the spine-tingling A Man in Hiding. I'll make goose pimples on goose pimples. That's what it'll do. See them both at the Avon Theater in West Memphis today, tomorrow, or Monday for sure. Home Equipment Company, the place where you can always get a good deal on quality home equipment improvements, presents Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Two.
This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, and that is Johnny Cash, live from the studio, KWEM in Memphis. Vintage classic stuff, stuff that belongs in a museum, and you'll hear it here, folks, right on Tube Talk. And you can tell Mr. Cash doesn't have quite the polish that he'd display a little later in his career. Well, that's because he's about 22 years old, 23 there, and he's just having some fun, and he's running his radio show. Imagine that, a radio show. At a 15-minute show, and he did everything and did the ads and asked for people to send those cards and letters, too.
Here's something to think about if you're planning on doing any kind of repairs on your home. Home Equipment Company has 17 different departments to give you any type of home service you need. For instance, on Flint Coat Roofing and Siding, it's the very best installed by men that really know how. In our Youngstown Kitchen Department, it's always the plan that counts, and Home Equipment Company gives you complete free planning service and does a job they're proud of all the way from to the finishing touches. On aluminum screens, they're completely rust-proof and bug-proof.
Imagine
you never
that.
Have to paint them because they're all aluminum.
No painting.
Wire fences, they're heavy 9-gauge wire with steel posts set in 18 inches of concrete. Fiberglass insulation for your home makes it cooler in summer and warmer in winter. These and many others, so anything for your home to make it a better place to live, is Home Equipment Company's business. And for any type of home improvements, you don't have to pay any money down, and you can get terms to suit you, up to 3 years to pay. Call us here at 483311 for a free estimate on any remodeling service. That's 483311 here in Memphis. Folks, we're very happy to be coming out your way today. We want to try to play the kind of music you like. About the only way, I guess, that we can find out the kind of music you like is for you to write us and tell us. So write us a card and letter, and we'll try our best to get the song on that you want to hear. If we don't know it, we'll learn it. Write to Johnny Cash in the Tennessee 2 here at KWEM in Memphis. Next thing, I want to ask Luther Boy to step up here and show all his little children how to play a big boogie.
Remember, folks, send cards and letters. No email, no text messages.
Thank you, Luther. I'd say that's mighty fine. Kind of cut you off short there. We really didn't mean to. Folks, it's getting around about that part of the program now. We always like to include a good sacred song in our show. This time we want to do one of our own. Well, whether it's good or not, that's really up to you. It's one that we wrote a good while back. We've sung it around, and the people seem to like it a little. I hope you'll let us know if you like it, or any other song that we do, or any song that you'd like for us to do, just write and tell us so. Here's our religious song for today. It's one we wrote called Belshazzar. Well, the Bible tells about a man who ruled Babylon and all its land. Round the city he built a wall and declared that Babylon would never fall. He had concubines and wives, he called his Babylon paradise. On his throne he drank and ate, but for Belshazzar it was getting late. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, the people feasted, drank the wine, and praised the false gods of his time. All holy things they scorned and mocked. Suddenly all their mocking stopped. For on the wall there appeared a hand. Nothing else, there was no man. In blood the hand began to write, and Belshazzar couldn't hide his fright. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, no one around could understand what was written by the mystic hand. Belshazzar tried but couldn't find a man who could give him peace of mind. Daniel the prophet, a man of God, he saw the writing on the wall in blood. Belshazzar asked him what it said, and Daniel turned to the wall and read, "My friend, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided, it can't stand. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your houses are built upon the sand."
Tube Talk is pleased tonight to welcome Kenny Richmond from Richmond's Design Incorporated here, recreating the past for the 21st century. Kenny, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Well, hey, I tell you what, you know, when I was looking over the Richmond Design's website, not only were the radios just striking, you know, museum-quality restoration jobs. I mean, they really kind of take your breath away. And for the collector, it's like going into the Museum of Fine Arts for radio. So the radio stuff is great. But, you know, Ken has some great information on there. He's got grill cloth, vintage, reproduction grill cloth, the stuff you need to complete your project. And not only does he have the cloth, you've got a nice set of tips there, Kenny, I noticed, too, on how to install it so you don't get a wrinkled look. And it will go in and it will really enhance the look of your radio. So we're going to get around to talking a little bit more about how you can get your hands on some of that in a little bit. But, Kenny, first, I was just wondering, maybe you could tell us, how did you get into the world of antique radio? How did you get started in that whole scene there? What caught your interest?
Well, it was kind of ironic. In 2005, I just came back to Shreveport from Texas after many years, and I had been doing antique furniture and finishing, and that was just about the time the economy peaked at its worst, and it was a blessing for me that a guy called me and asked me if I would refinish an old Zenith cabinet for a lady. And when I brought the cabinet here, I got to looking at it, and I said, I got to look into this. So I researched the cabinet, and it was on from there. There was no turning back for me. I fell in love with the field.
Yeah, well, you know, not only is it you know, doing the work and getting to see that beautiful cabinetry and the smart designs and the sharp designs. And, you know, for people, especially in the 30s and 40s, you know, I say this to a lot of folks I have on the show, you know, people today, especially younger ones, and I'm not picking on young people because I love a lot of them, but in general, I think people think society in the 30s and 40s, you know, was kind of crude and wasn't sophisticated. And in some ways, if you look at some of these designs, how beautiful they were, and these were going into average people's homes in some cases, it's just really gorgeous stuff, and it's neat to see it, you know, very well. You know, refinishing jobs are spectacular. They really sort of bring out that whole feeling of it. Now, when you got started on the Zenith, was it just the sort of the allure of the woodworking, or was it the whole idea that, you know, the communication end of the hobby, too, that is really cool to be working on sort of the first mass media, so to speak?
Well, it was really intriguing. Of course, the furniture part of it intrigued me the most, but as I got into researching the whole thing, it just amazed me the talent and the, you know, the communications expertise back there in a time where I always felt I should have been. I love the 30s. I think the 30s after the Depression was probably the happiest time to be alive in America.
Yeah,
you know, it's after the Depression and before the war, was everyone was thriving. And that time intrigued me, so it took me more into research. And I really have enjoyed just as much the research, if not the work itself.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, too, you know, you think about it. During the Depression, I mean, my father was one of 13, and they didn't have a lot of nothing is what they had. And, you know, it was a big struggle. And, you know, you think about what's going on, though, and you look at especially the radios, these beautiful designs and cabinets and the technology. And this was all coming, you know, during a time when the country was just struggling like it had never struggled before. So it's an amazing, you know, testimony to the skill and to the persistence of a lot of people who were in business in those days that they could still put out stuff like that. And then, of course, to turn around from being flat on your back economically to get up and fight, you know, the war of all wars at the time. And really, if the U.S. didn't get involved, there'd be a lot more problems in the world than they probably are now. So I think you're right. It was just an amazing time, and it just kind of makes the radios even more attractive, that whole idea of
classic radio. I believe the radios being as good as they were from, say, 32 to, the pre-war, which I guess would be 10 years, anywhere from 8 to 10 years, it gave everybody a chance, because they were happy, it gave them a chance to show their best. Yeah. And I believe that's why those radios are so intriguing still to this day.
Yeah, there's a lot of history that comes through those speakers, not just from the looks, but also from all the hard work and the bright, clever, inventive people who existed, you know, back then. Now, I'm just going to ask you, do you have a favorite time period for, like, cabinet work that you like to do, or a particular kind of set or a brand, or is it, as long as it's a nice designed cabinet, is that good enough? You don't have a favorite manufacturer you like to restore or anything?
Well, I think everyone likes Zenith. They were probably the most powerful manufacturer at that time because of the money they had behind them. But there were some other companies that just really amazed me. There was a little company called International Radio, as small as they were. And I can't remember. Ann Arbor, Michigan is where they were based. And they were one of the few to survive the Depression by starting to create Bakelite radios. And that amazed me that they found a way to survive instead of shutting down like a lot of people did. Ozarka is another one.
Yeah, those are fascinating, yeah.
Yes, that guy was just amazing, Matheson Bell. He was one of the greatest inventors of everything. I mean, he was an electronics major to start, but he had a lot of cabinetry built for him by Belmont, and they ended up buying his building. And when he went bankrupt in the mid-30s. But he did some radios that were just, I mean, for TRFs, they were probably one of the finest radios ever made, and they're very valuable today.
Yeah, you know,
those are my three favorites.
There's a lot of the smaller ones that sometimes really surprise you, too. You know, you'll find something, and it's one of the reasons I like to go sometimes to these radio swap meets. You know, you'll find something that you never saw before, you know, from either a small manufacturer or just a style from a big one that, you know, some guy has had sitting around for years and years. He decides to bring it out, especially some of the old timers, you know, as they're trying to move their radios on to someone who's going to take care of them instead of sell them off or just bring them down to the dumpster. So yeah, it's interesting how you got into it. Now, you've recently completed, one of the just an amazing project. I mean, it's the type of thing many people go through the radio collecting hobby and never even get to see a Zenith Stratosphere, which for its time was just the tops of the top. And the cabinet design was gorgeous and a bi-level chassis. And, I mean, it was a monster of a set and had great performance and just absolutely stunning to look at. And you got a chance to actually rebuild a cabinet for somebody, which is so cool, who had the chassis. Now, on this project, from what I understood from some of the stuff I read, this was a chassis that the whole radio was over in France, and I guess because of the Germans coming into the area, they still wanted to listen to the radio, but obviously it's kind of hard to tuck one of those things under your bed. So they pulled the chassis out so they could listen to the radio, and the cabinet, you know, got lost or ruined somewhere along the line. So someone approached you and said, "Hey, look, do you think you could build me one?" Is that how that thing turned out?
Yes, actually the cabinet was ordered, I understand it, as the cabinet was ordered by the Crosley Corporation in Paris. And the radio, as the war broke out, the radio had to immediately, the cabinet be destroyed, and the radio was hidden in the wall.
I see.
And so they could still use it. And obviously it survived the war and was purchased by someone here in the United States. I'm not real familiar with all the details, but as the radio came to the United States, still was never touched, set for, you know, the export wiring. It came here, and then the guy that bought it and hired me to build a cabinet for him, the reproduction cabinet, it was Kevin Tobin, and I'd like to take my hat off to him. If it hadn't been for him, I would have never been given this great opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, what a chance. And, you know, the other thing that makes the whole thing so cool is, you know, you talk to people about their radios, and they can say, well, I've got this, you know, XYZ model, and they tell you everything about it, and on itself, on its own, it can be impressive. But when you hear a good story, you know, an intriguing story like this one behind it, it's just, it becomes like a reading a good book. You know, the whole thing just takes on a whole special allure to it. So you were contracted to build this thing, and what kind of an approach did you take to it? Because it's not the type of thing, you know, probably, I don't know of anybody else who ever built one. So did you have plans or a drawing, or how did you get it started?
It started out, you know, like I said, when Kevin, by the way, Kevin Tobin is of Sydney, Australia, mm-hmm. and that's where the radio is now.
Wow.
But he came to me with the, we talked about it for quite a while, I'd say a while, several months, and when we finally, you know, at the point of his first conversation about it, I took him very seriously, and I knew that when the time was right, he would order it.
Sure.
So I started doing a little research, and, you know, even as I recreated the Walton, you have to take measurements. You basically have to write a Bible on it to have all the. I look better at my drawings after I've decided what measurements are correct and all the dimensions and the step-by-step process of putting one together after the parts are cut. You make your patterns and you write. I look at my own drawings a lot clearer than I do if I was to look at someone else's,
sure.
you know, a perfect blueprint.
Right.
So it was very enjoyable to make this happen. I've had a lot of help. John Miller allowed me to pick up his Stratosphere cabinet about 6 months before then. It was ironic because there were no plans at the time to build a reproduction. Pick his up for refinishing. And when I brought it here, ironically, a few months later, Kevin wanted to go ahead with his. So I had an original Stratosphere cabinet here to make all my patterns for.
Oh, well, that's great.
That was an amazing opportunity that just happened, you know, without any planning. So I was very happy that happened, and it made it. I don't think I could have made the cabinet as precise by pictures as I could have by having the actual piece.
Having the real thing. Now, it's mm-hmm. funny. I mean, you had respect for, you know, these guys in the radio business before you even got this Stratosphere project. How did you feel when you were really into it, you know, in the middle of putting that whole thing together? I mean, did it give you a whole different feel about what those guys were all about when they were building those things, you know, the first time around?
It did. It was amazing to actually see how they put things together. You know, there was a lot of manufacturers in the cabinet part of it that farmed out all their work, and they didn't do quite as good a job as the others. But the big companies like Zenith, Stromberg Carlson, they put all into their construction of their cabinets, and it was amazing to see how they put them together. It's just and like I said, once again, that was back when craftsmen still had a hand in,
sure.
you know, before mass production actually
right.
kicked off really,
yeah.
really hard.
Yeah, and you know, too, I mean, it had to be extremely solid because it's got to hold that the monster two-piece chassis there, the speakers, and so not only does it look very attractive, it was, you know, designed from an engineering point of view to hold the whole thing together enough so, you know, it would sound as good as it did, so... You know, I guess back in the day, those things sold for really big money, and, you know, it's too bad there aren't more that people could bring back to life, but I guess the Stratosphere wouldn't be the Stratosphere if, you know, you could go around and find one in any city or town. So, now,
it's amazing to me that the $650 could buy you a car back then, and that's what these radios cost.
Yeah, you got to think about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, that they supposedly sold as many as they did. I know there were 350 of them built, to my understanding. And ironically, there's only 7 right now that are without a cabinet. The last, I think, 2 years ago, they did a study about it and found that there were 7 registered radios complete without a cabinet. So hopefully I'll get a call from one of those guys one day, and I'll have the opportunity to build another one.
That's right. Well, you know, the thing is, too, I mean, you got to think, what a find of a lifetime, you know, for somebody to go into an old furniture store or, you know, somebody's home after they pass on or whatever, and you come across something like that. I mean, that is just, that's like digging the buried treasure up, you know, from Blackbeard or something.
And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of them out there, Paul, that we don't even know about. There's two things. people don't know what they are.
That's true.
It's an old console radio. They don't realize that it's as expensive as it was. And the other thing is, you've got people that have acquired this radio that feel very strongly about what they have, and they don't care to register the radio for safety reasons.
Right.
And I can understand
right.
that as well.
Right. Yeah. You know, they you know, from a sort of a privacy point of view, if it belonged to your mm-hmm. father or grandfather, you know, that's just your thing, and I can appreciate that too. Now, I know what you were saying on your site there is John Goler, who's very well known in the antique radio community, did the electrics on that. And you had mentioned John Miller had helped you out with his cabinet. Did anybody else in the radio community give you a lift, or was it pretty much a three-man project?
No, we were the main three, but there was help from several people that on little things. John Goller had a friend, I can't remember his last name, is Steve, helped me with good pictures and measurements for the screen back, which is also access the antenna on that. So, the copper screening,
mm-hmm.
and also Dave Wilson out in the West helped me with a lot of details. It was the small things that I needed help on, and the people that already had the radios were the ones that could help me the best.
Well, that's great that they could all help.
Reducing the knobs was quite a task, and there were several people that helped me with that. I was able to gather some old knobs that were I could research and look at the old finish on them.
Sure.
I was able to recreate those as best I could. But, yeah, there were several people that helped quite a bit. And I want to thank all of them for helping me through the detailed part of it.
Now, I was just curious. Now, did you hear from John, you know, on the chassis itself? How did he say it was to work on? I mean, was it in pretty decent shape? Or was he saying, ever give me another one?
No, it was intriguing. John is there's no battle too great for John. He's one of the finest electronics technicians I've ever met. He is he's very headstrong into what he's doing. He takes his time. He's meticulous, and he never complained one time. I mean, it's like
great.
I said, there's no job too big for him to handle. And he got in there, and within 2 or 3 weeks he worked on it and got it playing, and you know, he worked out the details from there, and he actually brought it here
uh-huh.
after he was on his way home back to Indiana from Florida. He brought it here so when I was complete with the cabinet I could take pictures, and that was how it all worked out well, is you know, to have that happen.
Sure. Now, did you get a chance to, I mean, the amazing thing is, I mean, If you just did the cabinet work and then you shipped it off somewhere and you weren't attached, you know, to the chassis at all, or you didn't have a connection to it, it would kind of be one thing. But, you know, you had that thing together. Did you get a chance to listen to her play?
I did. I listened to it play when John was here.
Uh-huh.
Kevin came in from Australia.
Yeah.
And we had John and his wife were here, and we all listened to it play here sitting on my table in the electronics room. But I never actually played it while
sure.
it was in the cabinet because I was by myself and I didn't
want
to turn something on, you know, and mess
it
up.
You. I hear you.
Wasn't familiar enough with the operation of it.
How was the sound on it when you guys were just listening to it on the bench? It must have been pretty awesome.
It was amazing. And, you know, to sound that good out of the cabinet is a
plus.
Yeah? Because the cabinet creates a lot of back sound,
mm-hmm.
which you're going to get, which adds to your bass tone. So to sound that good out of the cabinet really amazed me as well.
Well, you know, the incredible thing is, you know, for people who say, you know, especially nowadays, you know, because, you know, people listen to stereos and modern equipment and they say, well, who wants to listen to old radios? Well, you know, when you have a chance to listen to some of these really high-end sets, either high-end Philcos or Scotts or, you know, something like a Stratosphere, imagine that, you know, you say, you know, wow, I had no idea, you know, that that's what people could actually get in those days. And, you know, some of the programming, you know, there was comedies and dramas and soap operas, but a lot of these big broadcast companies also had these big orchestras and, you know, there was big band music. And it must have just been awesome to listen to some of that stuff on a set like that.
Two 12-inch speakers, a horn, and, you know, and to listen to all it with the power behind it was amazing. And, you know, you mentioned another manufacturer. To me, Scott, E.H. Scott and McMurdo Silver those guys were in a field all their own.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were absolutely amazing the way they battled each other right and left. They couldn't stand each other, so it drove them to do better.
Sure.
And the way they battled and some of the cabinetry that Scott had was just amazing. I mean, some of his cabinetry, there's cabinets he had built that we haven't even seen yet. That's what tickles me about this field is we keep seeing things surface here 75, 80 years later.
Sure, sure. And it's always inspiring, you know, when you find it. You have no idea. Now, I remember Scott used to have a little saying they put in a lot of their ads, if any other radio will do, don't buy a Scott, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of like a Porsche or something, you know? They really tried to aim it at the collector, the high-end, you know, the connoisseur. And plus, back in those days, too, you had to be lucky enough to have the bucks, you know, to buy one of those things. So, and
He also had a little metal sticker on the back of his metal tag on the back of his amps that said, all good things are handmade.
Well, you know, that's something, you know, in this hobby, people are sitting around clapping probably listen to that thing. Hand-wired, point-to-point, you know, that's the way it was done. And we couldn't be restoring it if it wasn't done by hand, I'll tell you that, because some of the stuff you see today is just, you know, the original recycling effort, I think, is all in the radio restoration community, because today's with electronics, it's in the dumpster, or, you know, I know they recycle some of the stuff, but, you know, it just amazes me that people get so little time out of, like, these modern appliances, and you can have a radio 75, 80 years old that still delivers great sound and is a beautiful thing to look at. I don't know, I just have a hard time sometimes seeing, you know, if we really made any progress. Now, one other thing that we wanted to spend a little time on here, and, you know, people in the radio restoration hobby and vintage radio are always, you know, one of the tough things is, you know, they call it sometimes unobtainium, you know, the part or the thing you just can't find to get, you know, to get your radio back. And grill cloth has become one of those things. And one of the other great things about, you know, Richmond Designs is you're the home for some original patterns, and the stuff looks really sharp. And as I mentioned, you've got some grill cloth installation tips on there, too. What do you have right now for cloth? I know you've added some patterns, and you've got quite a selection there.
Well, we've got six patterns, the ones that everyone's familiar with now, the large and small herringbone, the diamond regular pattern, and the diamond silver reversible. And the large herringbones will come out in the silver before too much longer. And we've got the zenith block pattern, and as well as the Philco chevron. The newest one out, which we'll have in a couple weeks, is I was real excited about, is the zenith leaf pattern. It's in the Childs console.
Yeah,
as everybody will probably remember that one. So that one's coming out soon. The problem we've run into, Paul, and I want everybody to understand this, I researched all this for 2 years before I really got into it, and I'll be honest with you, if I'd known what I was headed for, I may have backed off.
I hear you.
But I'm one to not give up, just like John Goller. I stay with something once I've started it. I don't quit, because failure's not part of my life. I don't accept it. But what happened was I had just introduced my Walton reproduction cabinet, and I introduced him with the cloth, and John Lokowitz went out of business right after I did that. And I thought, man, I got to get some cloth.
Sure.
So that's how I got started.
Right.
I was looking for that pattern. Well, to wind everything up and bring the story up to date, we have come to the point where to duplicate these patterns of cotton and rayon is what they were. As the swirl pattern would actually, they won't run less than 1,000 yards. That is going to cost, or would have cost, $40,000 to get 1,000 yards of that pattern, which would last us to rip two, three lifetimes.
Sure.
But we don't have $40,000 to run that. So what he's gonna run the pattern in cotton, and I'm gonna see what I can do with it as far as you know, creating a sheen to get the pattern.
Sure.
We've got to have it.
Sure.
There's too many Waltons out there not to have it. But that's how it got started, and then I started recreating patterns, and everybody seemed to be glad that it, you know, I had taken it
right
on. So I've just stayed with it. But I wanted everybody to understand the problem is the amount of yards they require to run on these high-end machines has to be over 500 to 1,000 yards. It's kind of like an old bus. once it gets running, it's going.
Right,
but
right,
these machines
right.
don't just run 50 yards and shut down.
Right, sure. Well, it's like anything, you know, in the heyday of radio, when they were producing this stuff, when they really needed it, you can only imagine, you know, what the output must have been. So even, you know, what you're saying, it seems like a lot for somebody. You know, you got to think what these guys are doing. So, you know, it's a huge chore, and you know, one of the things that, you know, we like to try to promote in the hobby, and I know I have several friends who feel the same way up here, is, you know, you'll find people in antique radio, and whether it's somebody like yourself that put all this sweat and effort into bringing back the grill cloths, or it's some guy who does knobs, or it's somebody who does reproduction dial glass, or, you know, there's lots of different things we could never find on our own. And if we do, you know, sometimes you just it's used and it doesn't do the radio justice. So,
right.
you know, go out in the hobby, support Kenny. If you need grill cloth, this is a source. Anybody really who's out there and who's trying to bring us parts or accessories that we need to get the radios done, you know, these are the folks we got to do business with to try to keep the hobby going and to always have access to what we need to really do the complete and correct job. So, anybody looking to pick up some grill cloth, I would encourage you. It's richmonddesignsinc.com. And when you get a hold of that website, you can do a few things. One is you can order yourself some grill cloth. You can check out some of the awesome radios that Kenny has done. I was looking at some stuff. You have a Midwest on there that's just a jaw dropper. I found a guy online who does he's out in California, and he likes to collect Midwest, and he just had some stories of Midwest that I saw, and it's an interesting.
That's Mike Simpson. He's a really good friend of mine.
Yeah, it's an interesting little company, and you know they made some great radios, and just some of the designs are just absolutely. You know, you want to talk about Art Deco? This is good stuff. But you can check out some of the radios. There's some, you know, lots of different manufacturers that Kenny has restored. So take a look, take a walk through the museum. But also, if you need some grill cloth, he is your man. So we want to make sure that. We try to support our friends in the hobby. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. You always wonder sometimes, well, what are we going to talk about? And do you think we can get enough time out of the subject here? Well, you know, the clock is clicking. And, Kenny, all I can say is thanks for sharing the Stratosphere saga. Go to KennethRichmondDesignsInc.com. It's RichmondDesignsInc.com. And check out some of Kenneth's stuff. And if you need grill cloth, he is your man. Thanks so much for taking your time and being on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. It's been great talking.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You have a great night. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And then there's Basin Street. That's the street where the elite are waiting. Land of dreams, you'll never know how nice it seems, just how much it really means. Glad to be serene, where welcome's free, so dear to me, where it really means.
Very nicely sung. That's Peggy Lee with Basin Street Blues, a little something from Louisiana for our pal down in Louisiana, Kenny Richmond. Thank you so much for being on Tube Talk tonight. What a story. Could you imagine that? How'd you like to listen to Peggy Lee on a Stratosphere? That would be something you wouldn't forget. Beautiful music, great entertainment on state-of-the-art sets. I gotta tell you, those were the days, my friend.
M, I say M-O, M-O-P, M-O-P-P, mop, M-O-P-P, mop, 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 mop. I say R-A, R-A-G, R-A-G-G. G-G-M-O-P-P, rag mop, doo-da, da, 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 R-A-G-G-M-O-P-P, rag mop.
Brothers, this is Tube Talk. As we say around the studio, thanks for tuning in. You have reached the zenith, no pun intended, of the independently produced fine radio broadcast experience. We do this every Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, over the air in the greater Boston area on WRCA 1330 AM, streaming on the WRCA 1330 AM website. We welcome you aboard. We hope you enjoy our vintage experience. If you'd like to drop the show an email, it's tubetalk1@gmail.com. Let us know. If you enjoy the program, you can check us out at tubetalkclassicradio.org. And I just wanted to make sure we give the proper web address here for Mr. Richmond, Kenny Richmond Designs. It is Richmond Designs Inc. .com. So check out some of the beautiful work and some of that grill cloth. Kenny really does the hobby so well by having such high standards. Check it out. We hope you like it. We hope you enjoy the program. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell everyone in the antique radio community or just those who love interesting chat and super deluxe music to tune in. Are you feeling a little bewitched? I am. Maybe more bewildered would be better.
again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again. Bothered and bewildered am I. Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bothered and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? He is cold, I agree. He can laugh, but I love it. Although the laugh's on me, I'll sing to him each spring to him, and long for the day when I'll cling to him. Bothered and bewildered am I.
Bothered and bewildered.
Beautifully done. That's Gordon Jenkins leading the orchestra. Bonnie Lou Williams. How sweet is that on the vocal work? Just absolutely delightful.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I am coming back. Little sweetheart of the mountains, with your bonny eyes of blue, once again I'll say I love you, while the birds sing all the day. When it's springtime in the Rockies, far away. When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you. Little sweetheart, bonny eyes are blue. Once again, I'll say I love you, while the birds sing all the day. When it's springtime in the Rockies, in the Rockies, far.
Gordon McRae from 1959, Springtime in the Rockies. Gang, we appreciate your listenership. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great night.
Good night, I ring. Good night, I ring. last Saturday night I got married. Me and my wife settled down. Now me and my wife are parting. I'm gonna take another stroll downtown.
Irene, good night. Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dreams.
Sometimes I live in the country. Sometimes I live in town. Sometimes I take a great notion to jump into the river.
Stop your gambling. Stop staying out late at night. Go home to your wife and family. Stay there by your fireside bright.
Irene, good night.
Good night, Irene, or as Archie used to say, good night, nurse. Maybe I just should have let Johnny Cash finish the whole thing up tonight, huh?
Well, folks, it's just about time for us to leave, but before we go, I'd like to say that it's been very nice coming your way today over KWEM. We hope very much that you enjoyed our program and hope you'll be tuned in again next Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and once again, we'll be back with you and try to sing you the song that you want to hear. If you have any request, just write us in. If we know it, we'll sing it. If we don't, we'll try to learn it. Also, if there's anything that you had planned to do to your home, any improvements, Youngstown kitchens, iron, insulation, roofing, siding, tile, heating equipment, screens, or anything at all, just call Home Equipment Company. Call us here at 483311, and someone will come out and give you an estimate on it free, of course, at your convenience.
Home Equipment Company has just presented 15 minutes of country music by Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Twos. Tune in again next Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock when Home Equipment brings you Johnny Cash. Serving both Memphis and the greater Mid-South.
Too bad you can't find shows like that on the radio anymore, huh?
Radio dial in Memphis.
Time is about 1 minute till 12 o'clock now. All the music's on record. Melody Ranch with your good buddy Texas Bill Strength, coming your way over KWEM with studios in Memphis and West Memphis. And friends, don't forget about that big show tomorrow night at Overton Park Shell. The big country jamboree. It's going to be one of the biggest ever to come to Memphis, and know you won't want to miss seeing and hearing in person Webb Pierce and all the Wondering Boys, Red Savine, Elvis Presley will be there, Jim Wilson and his little four-year-old daughter, the boy that's got such a big hit record on Daddy You Know What, and Sonny James will be there too, Bud Deckelman, Johnny Cash, Wanda Jackson, the little gal from Oklahoma, and of course, yours truly, and just many, many others. Don't you miss it now. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, one show only at the Overton Park Shell. And I think I'm safe in saying, rain or shine, the show will go on tomorrow night.